Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to WWD Voices. I'm Arthur Zachwitz, Executive Editor of Strategic Content Development at WWD. And we have a very special guest host today, Michael Londrigan. Michael is the Chairman of Business and an Associate Professor at LIM College here in New York. Today, he will be presenting a panel discussion on the fashion-cannabis connection. Michael, welcome.
Thank you, Arthur, and thank you to WWD for exploring this topic. Cannabis is getting more attention these days through the legalization, and it continues across the U.S. And the fashion industry sees opportunities in building brands ranging from apparel to luxury cannabis accessories and more. In addition, we have seen a number of companies poaching fashion personnel from the fashion industry to help work in the cannabis industry, particularly in retail. And cannabis actually calls it more of a dispensary, but we like to use the term retail. So we're seeing more of that happening across the board. And there's also collaborations between fashion brands and cannabis. They're emerging all around us. And that's what we're here to talk about today with our esteemed panel. I'll start by introducing my colleagues from LIM College. And you may not know this, but LIM was one of the first colleges in the United States to offer a Bachelor's of Business Administration in the business of cannabis, and also a master's degree, a Master's of Professional Studies in the business of cannabis. We launched these two degrees in the fall of 2022, and we continue to see growth in that particular area. First off, we have Michael Zaitsev, who is the Academic Director of Business of Cannabis here at the college. Michael joined us after we had launched the two degrees, and we realized we needed some expertise in this particular area. My background has always been in fashion, and we moved into lifestyle of cannabis, but we realized that we need someone who could help bring talent to the college, particularly on the professor side, and so we hired Michael. We also have Eurydice Sanchez, who is the Assistant Director of Career Development and Advising at LIM College and has developed terrific experiential programming at the college called Fashion Forward, which we'll explore a little bit today as well. Representing the students at LIM College is Delilah Ware. Delilah is a fashion scholar majoring in the business of cannabis here at LIM College. She has plans to graduate in the spring of 2024, and Delilah is one of our standout students, and she's actually the co-winner of a Fashion Cannabis Collaboration student competition that we'll also talk about today. I'm also very excited to introduce our guests representing Edie Parker. As you may know, Edie Parker is a modern accessories label that began with founder Brett Heyman, whose love for mid-century style and handbags has evolved from coveted world of head-turning handbags to include conversation-sparking cannabis-adjacent accessories where fashion meets flower. We're thrilled to have Brett with us today. We're also proud to have one of our LIM alums, Constance Capalis, with us on the podcast today. Constance graduated from LIM in 2021, and she was snapped up by Edie Parker and is heavily involved in Fashion Forward collaboration course at LIM College and with Edie Parker as well. Speaking of collaborations between Edie Parker and LIM, I'll ask Eurydice if she can fill us in on this innovative coursework and what it's all about.
Thank you, Michael, for the introduction. I'm excited to be here today and share how the Fashion Forward Live program, an innovative experiential learning opportunity, came into existence and led to the collaboration with Edie Parker last fall. Fashion Forward Live is a project-based experience that was created in the summer of 2020 as a direct result of COVID, when unfortunately many students lost their internships and internships really for the most part disappeared. Our office, Career and Internship Services, had to quickly pivot to be able to offer students a valuable real-world learning experience in order for them to complete their degrees on time while still providing students with direct interaction with the industry and employers. Since its inception, we have partnered with several different companies, and Fashion Forward Live has had a few different iterations, but the general goal of the project is to familiarize students with how companies such as E.D. Parker develop partnerships and execute strategies that help build long-term brand value through reaching new audiences and driving volume in sales. The opportunity allows students to work as teams and gain industry insight and experience while developing key competency skills. The collaboration with E.D. Parker specifically arose from initial conversations about internship opportunities, and the idea of Fashion Forward Live was presented as another option. Brett and Constance can certainly speak more to this, but Constance was very familiar with the program herself as she was previously a Fashion Forward Live participant, and her team won first place in spring 2021.
Great. Thank you, Rudisi. Thank you for that update. Brett and Constance from E.D. Parker, I'm going to turn it over to you. And if you could just talk a little bit about why you got involved with LIM College and what it means for you as a company. I can imagine this is, you know, it's a fairly large commitment on your part. So I'd really like to hear from both of you as to how it's going.
Well, thank you for having us. I will turn this over to Constance because Constance is the reason that we got involved. She spearheaded the whole project and we really did it because of Constance and we were super excited about the project, but I will let her take it away.
Yeah, so I really wanted to get involved just because when I was a student, I studied fashion media. And at the time in 2017, I was the first kind of student to take that course. It was very brand new. It was kind of like the students learning about the industry and how it's changing alongside the students. So when I received an email that LIM was now offering a business and cannabis degree, I replied to the email not even thinking that someone was going to see it or respond back. And I just said that I'm not interested in a master's degree, but I work for E.D. Parker, and this is a great example of what you can do with this degree if they want to check us out. Yeah, instead I received a response asking to collaborate, which was really exciting to me. And so it was a big commitment, lots of time outside the office, but I was really passionate about it, so I really didn't mind. And we were happy to give our time and our honest feedback from professionals that are in the industry already. So, yeah.
Thank you, Constance. Brett, can you just share a little bit more about the cross-section that you're seeing between E.D. Parker and fashion and cannabis and things of that nature?
Sure. Well, first, just to, you know, add to what you said about E.D. Parker. So E.D. Parker makes cannabis accessories, but we also sell THC SKUs against a variety of form factors. And we just launched in New York, which is our sixth state that we actually sell cannabis flower in. So comes with a even more complicated challenges than just the accessories alone. But I would say, you know, certainly when we launched Flower by E.D. Parker in 2019, after having E.D. Parker be around from about 2010, there was a lot of enthusiasm, but also a lot of curiosity and questions. Like, you make these expensive evening bags. Like, why are you making cannabis now and selling cannabis? And I think for me, the opportunity was so obvious. I was probably a little bit naive how complicated it was, but, you know, a more traditional path for E.D. Parker expansion would have probably been shoes or ready to wear, a traditional fashion category. But as we all know, those are highly, highly saturated categories and markets, and we didn't really feel we had anything new to say there. And in my opinion, fashion is at its best when it's kind of representing what's happening in culture. And it's really hard to deny that cannabis is such a big part of what's happening in culture. I mean, It is poised to be the biggest job creator in the United States. There were $40 billion of legal cannabis sales last year, so probably $80 billion in total cannabis sales, creating, you know, $2.5 billion of tax revenue. So this is happening. And I think it's just whatever it looks like now, it's going to look really different in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. But it's rare that you get to be at the onset of something, really at the beginning of something. And that's the opportunity we saw. And that's why we think that, you know, because fashion is a really innovative category and fashion should be, you know, fashion seizes trends. So I just think that was the opportunity we saw. And we thought that nobody was really doing cannabis in the way, like, you know, the Edie Parker has a very specific look and feel. It's bold, it's colorful, it's irreverent. And so, and it's feminine. And so we just didn't think that that existed in the cannabis world, and that women, and as we call them, smokers with style, wanted accessories they didn't have to stash in their drawer when their parents came over or their friends came over, and they wanted something with shelf appeal at a dispensary.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. And to be honest, that's one of the reasons why OIM got involved in this, because of the cross-section between fashion and cannabis today. When you look at the processes that go into developing a line for apparel, whether it's shoes, bags, evening gowns, whatever, the same processes apply to that in cannabis. And we look at it from, you know, a retail perspective where we have dispensaries, product development, supply chain, marketing, sales, all of those things occur in the fashion industry, also occur in cannabis. And that was really one of the main drivers behind us getting more involved into this lifestyle aspect of the business. So, Michael, you were involved in the coursework as well. What do you think is so important for LIM College to team with industry leaders such as Edie Parker?
Yeah, so I think experiential education has always been one of our calling cards on the fashion side, and now on the cannabis side as well. And we really pride ourselves on not only the career outcomes we produce for our students, but giving them the opportunities to work with and learn from visionary leaders like Brett, and, you know, give them real world experience while they're in the undergrad studies, where we require 3 internships. And, you know, frankly, Edie Parker was the perfect partner for us, because as you alluded to, you know, they successfully made that fashion to cannabis transition and really pioneered it. And, you know, I believe LIM, we're doing the same thing, just in education, not in fashion. And, you know, in addition to providing our students with opportunities, it just so happened that Constance had this great experience with LIM and wanted to pay it forward. And then, funny enough, I remember when I was teaching Delilah in her first semester, and I told the students, hey, we have this great opportunity that we're one of the only schools doing this, so we can reach out to anyone and create opportunities and partnerships. Who do you want to work with? And I remember Delilah said, Edie Parker, how do I get involved with them? So it was almost the perfect storm here. And, you know, I think we're super fortunate that the industry has really embraced LIM and really wants to shepherd the next generation of the cannabis workforce and support education, because they really have not had that opportunity before. So it's an exciting place to be.
Thank you, Michael. I'm going to turn it over to Delilah. Delilah, you know, what brought you to LIM College, and how did you find us in the cannabis space? And if you could also talk a little bit about your intersection with Edie Parker and the collaboration that you've had with them.
Yeah, so LIM actually came to my high school my senior year. I feel like my experience coming to LIM is very different than most people's. I thought I wanted to be a doctor all through high school, so I was taking all these AP science classes, AP math classes, and I hated it. So my senior year, I took a fashion design class, and it was like really fun. I just took it as like an elective, and LIM came to the school, and, you know, fashion is something I was always really interested in, just as like a passion project. I worked at vintage clothing stores throughout my time in high school when I was back home, so learning about LIM was so exciting. And when I learned about their cannabis program, it seemed like a perfect fit, because cannabis was always a conversation in my household. My parents are very big advocates for legalization. So when I came home from school that day and was telling my dad, I was like, oh my God, there's this college and it's a cannabis business major. I feel like I have to apply. I went home, I applied that day.
I found out I got in a couple weeks later, and it felt like the cards aligned, and it was just what was right for me. And I'm so happy that I made that decision. My experience these past 2 years now has been incredible. LAM has been a great institution and perfect for me with the experiential learning aspect as well. During my freshman year, I had to get my first internship done in the spring, and I was so excited to work for various different, cannabis accessory brands, but a brand that always stood out to me was Edie Parker. I always loved what they do, loved how it's so high fashion, high class in the cannabis world. And I feel like no one else is really doing it like them. I reached out, but it didn't really end up working out my spring semester. But when Professor Z and Professor Fidian Green told me about the opportunity in the fall, I was so excited. It was really great to do a project-based internship, to do something that's really creative, and I was able to work along my partner Cece Chiquetto. I wouldn't have been able to have done it without her. We spent so many hours working on this project, just throwing out ideas, and it was something so incredible to do something independently and then come together at the end and get some feedback. It was just an amazing opportunity.
That's great, Delia. Thank you. What would you tell high school students about LIM and why they should come here to study cannabis?
I would tell them, if you're passionate about the plant in any aspect and you have as much faith as I do in what the business will be one day and what it is becoming, there's no reason not to come. There's no school that's doing the business of cannabis like LIM. I know that there are some agricultural schools, but there's no schools that are really putting an emphasis on the business side of cannabis. So I would tell students that with the experiential learning, the small classroom size, the hands-on work that you do at LIM, I'm now in my fourth semester and I already have a resume that I'm struggling to keep on one page, while a lot of students at other schools are struggling to even put stuff on a resume. So I would say that you're well equipped to enter the industry once you graduate, and they really set you up for success.
That's great. Thank you very much. Brett referenced the extreme growth that's happening in the space. And, when you look at some of the trade publications, they're talking about adding 80,000 jobs within the next 3 to 5 years, just in the tri-state area alone. So this is something that is really important. And, we feel here at LIM College that we are preparing students for this potential growth. Constance, we talked a little bit about your intersection with the brand management at Edie Parker and the collaboration. Can you expand a little bit more on that, please?
Yeah, so as a brand relations manager, it's obviously part of my job to be a brand representative. And I just saw this as such a great opportunity to not only get our name out there and be a brand that students can look up to, but it also gets students thinking about what they can do themselves and how they can get creative. So this was kind of just a way to start thinking ahead. I know that when I graduated, it was obviously overwhelming, because you graduate and you have all these skills, all this experience, all this internship work that you do throughout your entire time at LIM, and then you don't really know where to apply it. So this was kind of just a head start and a way to graduate with something that is kind of like what they're going to be doing in the future. So that was kind of my thoughts. If I had to say something to students that were kind of taking the similar path as me today, I would just say to be patient and to start somewhere that you know that you're going to be able to grow and learn. When I started at Edie Parker, I just saw that this was a brand that's the first of its kind. And that really intrigued me. I wasn't interested in cannabis or anything like that, but I just saw it as a great opportunity to learn. And so I would just say that that's something that I found really helpful, and I hope students do in the future.
Thank you, Constance. Yeah. So, Brett, you have made an incredible name for yourself in the fashion industry with handbags, and now you're, you know, doing a lot in the cannabis space. What's next for Edie Parker? Where do you see this going? And how have the students that you've interacted with been able to help you in that aspect?
Sorry, this was for me, yes?
Yes, Brett, sorry.
Forgive me, Arthur. I think that, you know, everybody in cannabis talks about this will be a brand game. Cannabis will be a brand game. I think because the industry is still so disjointed, you know, it's not a federally legal substance. So it's hard to create brands in that way. You know, if you can't have interstate commerce, if you can't have consistency of product from one state to the next, it's really, really hard to establish brand. I think that another challenge is that a lot of these multi-state operators, these MSOs, took a lot of money, paid a lot of really talented branding agents, and said, okay, this is our house brand and it means something. And what they're finding is that, in fact, it doesn't. And cannabis, look, cannabis is, there's so much demand for cannabis that right now, whatever you put in a dispensary is really selling. But I'm looking towards the future, which is, you know, 2 years down the road. If we get a little bit of tailwind from the federal government, if rescheduling happens, if anything happens, and like, brands, they're becoming more important now, but they're going to be, there will be the, you know, for no other comp, but like the Grey Goose of cannabis and the Levi's of cannabis. I always like to say we want to be the Prada of pot. So that's really what the focus is just, we've had a brand for 14 years now, 13, 14 years, and it means something to people, and it's considered, and it's thoughtful, and there's an ethos that's very authentic that I certainly am living in, the girls in the office are living in it. For us, it's making sure that we can survive this time and stay in business and continue to put out product in this category that people aren't putting out, because we're just so, so optimistic about this being a real lifestyle category. So that's what we think is the future. And then in terms of the students, I mean, I only had one day with them where they presented our projects, and they were all so impressive and great. And it's so exciting, and it's really validating to say that, like, there are so many smart, enthusiastic young people who also see the potential here, who know that this is going to be such an important industry in their lifetime when they go to get jobs. You know, there's innovation, and it's as we said, job creation and revenue creation. So it was just really great to see the future of people who are coming into cannabis, and that it's not a fringe career, and it's not subculture, and it's not something to be ashamed of. You know, our whole thing is trying to reduce stigma by normalizing and you know, having this fashion perspective. And so just seeing that there are students who get that and are following suit, and that there will continue to be more, is just really makes us very happy.
That's a great answer, Brett. Thank you very much. Michael, you've been in on the ground floor of the Aligned College movement here in education. What took you in that direction? Where did your career move from where you were originally to where you are today?
Yeah, so I started in a very traditional field. I was in finance and then moved over to high tech and spent a couple of years at Google in Silicon Valley, and I think that's where I got inspired to do something entrepreneurial. And so I came back to the East Coast, and it was 2014 where New York had just legalized medical cannabis. And I had seen the future in California and thought, wow, here's an unprecedented opportunity to get in on the ground floor of a multi-billion dollar industry when it's just getting started. And so I started producing cannabis education and networking events, and over the next few years had grown one of the largest meetup groups in cannabis in the world, and had built an incredible network. And really, it all started when one day I was a completely uneducated cannabis consumer. And one day I met a few folks who were real medical patients, real cannabis advocates, and who had their lives impacted by unfair law enforcement where they had been targeted for using cannabis. And it actually robbed them of the opportunity to get an education and so many other opportunities. And to me, that was the aha moment where I decided, wait a second, I never received this education. I never knew anything about the history of the plant or any of that. And so I kind of made it my mission to not only get educated, but to spread that education, because I knew that there were so many people who had a serious connection to the plant or relied on it for their quality of life or medicine, but really didn't have much background or understanding of the dynamics of it. And the more I learned about it, the more fascinated I became. And so, you know, many years later, I was given the opportunity to teach a college class for CUNY. And then one day, I believe it was my destiny, I discovered LIM College was hiring for this academic director role that I now am humbled and lucky to hold the position of. And, you know, it was a dream come true to be able to make history in New York and launch some of these first ever cannabis degree programs and to help do the kind of grassroots education work that I had been doing for many years and take that to, you know, and the puns are always intended, to take it to a higher level and bring it to higher ed. We like to say at LIM that we try to provide our students with the opportunities to find their dream career. Well, for me, this was my dream career, and LIM made good on their promise for me. So, you know, I'm super excited to be here. And I'll just share one last thing, Michael, which is, you know, this is a non-traditional industry, but at the end of the day, business is business. You know, the supply and demand curve they teach at Harvard Business School is the same as the one we teach at LIM College, but you can't get the cannabis focused industry specific education that we're offering anywhere else. And, you know, you could take the skills in a business of cannabis degree and go work in any other industry. In fact, I would argue that the cannabis industry, because it's so highly regulated, so volatile, so rapidly growing, is much more complicated than a lot of other industries. And if you could make it in cannabis, you can probably make it in a lot of other fields. So, you know, I think we're on the cutting edge, and it's really exciting to be a part of it.
That's great, Michael. Thank you. Michael raises good points. And the one thing that, you know, we like to emphasize about our degrees, they're business degrees. They're pure and simple business degrees. They just happen to have a strong focus on the cannabis side of the business. Their undergraduates, 122 credits, just like anybody else in the country. And, you know, 30 credits are specifically set aside for students to study cannabis. In the graduate program, it's 30 credits, and it's all focused on the cannabis side of the industry. Delilah, let's come back to you. You are graduating in the not too distant future. What's your dream job? Where do you see your career going? And what's the next step for Delilah Ware?
That's a great question. And a question that's always ever changing. I want to do so much. So that's why it's kind of hard to put my finger on one thing. You know, I'm really taking this opportunity as a young professional to really try everything in the industry, seeing what I like. I just want to do something that I'm passionate about. I wanted a career that's non-traditional. I want something where I'm going to be on my feet. I don't want to do the same thing every day. Sitting in a cubicle for the rest of my life sounds like hell to me. So honestly, I'm just excited to learn right now. So I'm trying not to put a solid answer, but I'm passionate about cannabis and I'm passionate about the business of cannabis. So something there where I could be creative on my feet and doing something different every day.
Do you see yourself staying in the New York area, or would you be open to, you know, moving to another state that has a strong cannabis presence?
As of right now, I only see myself in New York. For me, it's kind of New York or nowhere. I have that very New Yorker mentality. But, you know, if something came up, an opportunity proposed itself and I couldn't say no, you know, moving isn't something that I would object, but right now I would love to stay in New York if possible.
Okay, great. Thanks. Constance, we're very proud of you here at LIM College for what you've been able to achieve. so far and the collaboration that you've been able to bring forward. As a student, did you ever envision yourself being in the position that you're in today?
I honestly didn't. Kind of like Delilah was saying, like, I really was so optimistic. Like, I had no idea what I wanted to do, because fashion media could really be like anything. When I first started college, I originally wanted to write for a magazine, and then midway I was like, magazines don't even exist anymore. Like, what am I supposed to do? So it was very out in the air, but I'm extremely happy with how I've ended up. Again, like, did not think that I really am grateful for the experience that LAM has provided me, and for the experience that E.D. Parker has provided me. For future students, I definitely recommend to just network as much as possible. Anything that you want to do, like, can be done. I'm sure even Delilah and all the other students that are interested in cannabis didn't think that they could make careers out of this interest, but you totally can. I just think it's all about being creative and being very patient, and just letting yourself kind of, it sounds kind of corny, but everything does happen for a reason and things do come to you with time. So I think if you just like keep that in mind and you just keep going at whatever you're doing, you'll eventually end up exactly where you want to be.
Sounds good. So, Michael, what's the value of being in New York City in cannabis and fashion? What do you have to add to that?
Yeah, I think for those who might not be aware of what's happening with legalization in New York State, you know, we're still in the early stages. We have just about 60 dispensaries in the state and about 25 in New York City. And this is projected to be the largest cannabis market in the world. And so I think the opportunity to not only see the industry being built in real time, but to be a part of it and be in, you know, as a New Yorker, I'm biased, but the culture capital of the world, the nightlife capital of the world, the fashion capital of the world, the finance capital of the world, and the cannabis capital of the world, I think is an opportunity that, you know, it's a once in a lifetime thing to be a part of. And, you know, I'd be curious to hear Brett's take on it, because she's been in the heart of it for a while now. So, but I think it's, you know, we at LIM have a very special geographic advantage, and to be a part of New York cannabis right now is a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Thank you. So we're going to get ready to wrap it up here, but first I want to go around the room. And in a word or a couple of words, can you describe where you think the future is headed in respect to the intersection of cannabis and the world of fashion? Eurydice, let's start with you. What do you think?
I think it's already been touched on so many times today, but I just think there's such tremendous growth opportunity. You know, Brett mentioned the career opportunities and how large the business is right now and the potential in the next few years. So I think, as you mentioned, you know, it's at the intersection of sustainability and wellness and beauty. And so I think we just can't really even underestimate how large the growth opportunity is. And I talk to Professor Z a lot, and I'm often asking about, where are we going? Where's the future going? But I just think you can't underestimate. And I'm sorry, I know that was more than a few words, but I think career opportunity, growth opportunity is just tremendous.
That's great. Yeah, a little more than a couple words, but that's okay. Michael, what do you think?
So I think in the next 3 to 5 years, we'll see more mainstreaming of cannabis in fashion and vice versa, more collaboration, more crossover. And I'm going to offer in the next 10 years, next 10 to 15 years, we're going to see this whole thing go global. We're still very much US focused, and, you know, it's still very segmented by state. But I think a decade from now, we're going to see you know, serious globalization of the cannabis industry.
Thank you.
Michael, can I just add to that? Because sure. I agree completely. And I think that's when, I think right now, like when you think about fashion and when you think about luxury and luxury brands, I think right now people still are gun shy because it's not only federally illegal, but global, you know, internationally, it's not legal. So I think that's when it will become really interesting in the industry too, when you have international legalization. I mean, let's start with Europe. You know, if like, you know, Germany is going to be the first rec country coming on, Spain, Portugal, Israel, they already have medical. So that's when I think you see players like LVMH and you know, like then they get into maybe cannabis and that way, because it's obviously it's like a multi-billion dollar business. And that I think will be really, really exciting to watch.
Okay. Delilah.
I mean, I agree with both what Professor Z and Brett has said. I think that we'll see wider spread, you know, marketing, normalization, and hopefully rescheduling or even descheduling. I mean, it's optimistic, but I think that'll really change the game as well. But definitely wider spread opportunities within like the past year and a half that I've been at LIM, you know, I've even seen like more opportunities open up. So I just think that the opportunities are just going to continue to open up and up, like it's just going to kind of become wider spread.
And Constance, how about you?
My word, like Michael mentioned, was collaboration. I definitely think there are going to be more brands that are going to see the potential, just like we have. I'm honestly excited. I feel like there's going to be, I feel like this industry is very like mysterious in a way. Like you never know what people are going to come up with. I feel like I see new brands with smoking accessories come out every single day. So I'm very excited to see how existing brands plan to incorporate this new
industry. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I will keep it to a couple of words. I will say it is a growing industry, and no pun intended. And now I'd like to turn it over to Arthur.
That was amazing. I love that. My favorite was the Prada of pot. Love that. It's exciting. Can't wait to see how this, you know, evolves over time. And thank you again. Thank you for coming together today. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And we'll see you next time on WWD Voices.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.